This week, Bitcoin blasted beyond our $10,000 target, touching $11,500, while the Dow Jones Industrials finally crossed our $24,000 target. Well, welcome back to Gold Seek Radio, everyone. It's just great to be with you this weekend. Your host, Chris Waltzek, with another big show and two more of your favorite guests. We're continuing to give away a free Ledger wallet with new subscriptions to the Alpha Stocks and Bitcoin newsletter. Plus, for a limited time, we are still offering the Trezor altcoin wallet that holds Bitcoin and most of the others, including Ether, Dash, Litecoin, and plenty more. Plus, I'm offering 100 coins of my favorite altcoin. In my opinion, this is better than Komodo, perhaps the biggest secret in the altcoin space. And here's why. This is the fastest coin I've ever found, many times faster than Bitcoin and especially Komodo. I think really comparable to Komodo, but trading at a fraction of the cost. Here's one of the biggest neat aspects here. There's only 1.6 or so million tokens, and most of those are tied up in the nodes. So unlike Komodo and most altcoins, I've seen it update in less than a second, meaning I can send it from one wallet to another, and it might take a few minutes to complete the confirmations. It's just instantaneous. The incentives for opening up a master node. This coin could set a new standard. In fact, it might be the most important global token around because super fast transactions, inexpensive. The downloading of the blockchain is almost instantaneous. Even with our super slow internet while watching a YouTube, we had it downloaded in about 15, 20 minutes. It shouldn't be that fast, folks. It can take days, even weeks on a slow internet connection to download the blockchain. Again, it's due to the incentives they have to keep those cheap masternodes running, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of them out there. I think it could be a $30, even a $300 coin if it caught the right attention. And I'm giving away 100 to new subscribers and 300 to 5-year subscribers, 500 for 10-year subscribers. As soon as the account is set up, I can send them right over to you. And believe me, it's fast. Who knows what the future is? There's no guarantees. But this is one I'd like to have on my Trezor wallet, folks. Well, on this week's show, Giovanni Luzna, the head of the hedge token HDG, makes his show debut from his office in South Africa. Gold Seek's Peter Spina rated this as his top crypto candidate. They have a unique hedging platform that seems to allow almost anyone to participate in a broad basket, and they have plans for an altcoin ETF. Will they be one of the first to make it to that space? Look at what happened with the last ETF, 1600% just since we started following it. Then Bill Murphy from Gata, a longtime friend of the show, says the market mechanics for the precious metals remain red hot. He thinks it's physical bullion sales that will ultimately send these markets skyward. We discussed Jim Rickard's latest article, who says that a global flight to quality is adding impressive support to the precious metals sector. Plus, a recent article from Sprott Asset Management notes that gold has outperformed even the S&P 500 when we account for inflation appropriately. And maybe the most exciting comment of all, from CPM Group, who's looking for $40 silver as soon as 2018 on tight supply and demand conditions. That's a lofty target, but hey, let's go for that Bitcoin moment. And the Q&A hotline, we'd like to hear from you. 641-715-3900. Why not just jot this down on a Post-it pad, plug it right into your phone, call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 1-641-715-3900, and you'll need our mailbox number, 514049. And Robert Ian wraps up the show with another must-hear report. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Clouds rolled in over the precious metals market this week. That is until Friday, where dollar weakness continued to give the market support ahead of political drama in Washington, D.C. Gold finished the week off just $5 at $12.82 an ounce. Silver gave back 60 cents, finishing at $16.39. But the good news is that we might be completing a bullish head and shoulders pattern there in the silver sector, implying a possible move to 23 next year. The precious metals XAU shares were off $1.46, ending at $79.66. Black gold finished at around $57 a barrel, treading water but still near recent highs. But it was the Bitcoin ETF, GBTC, that added, and sit down for this one, folks, 55% higher this week, $500 in 1 week at least, closing at $1,665, a new all-time record high to say the least. That's up about 1,500% since we first added it to this report about a year ago. So congratulations, folks. The top story moving the markets this week, more political drama in D.C. It caught investors off guard, sending traders into the precious metals and capping equities gains, as well as in the dollar and bonds on Friday. Gold leaped higher by $14 on the report. Investors are watching the market closely ahead of the December Federal Reserve monetary policy meeting, where odds favor a hike of the overnight lending rate. The current Fed funds futures contracts indicate about a 93% probability of a bump up. Precious metals, bottom line. I called for Bitcoin to top 9 and 10,000. I didn't expect it to top 11,500. We might just run to 13, even 15,000. I'm seeing extreme signs of an exhaustion top in Bitcoin, which makes me think that we should see a retracement in the coming weeks. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, visibility virtually unlimited over the New York Stock Exchange as domestic shares flew higher following positive tax reform talks on Capitol Hill. The Dow picked up 673, closing over that 24,231 mark. The S&P added 40, finishing at 2642, and the NASDAQ actually fell 42 points, ending at 6848. Next week, traders will be focusing on Washington and the top economic report of the month, the employment number. Although weak figures might put the odds down a bit on a December rate hike, I still expect the Fed will pull the trigger on rates and then once again in summer of 2018. Bottom line on U.S. equities. Well, we finally crossed my 24,000 Dow forecast, which I made over 6 months ago. The 7 indicator greed to fear index bumped into greedy category, but it's still very few signs of excessive greediness. So even with the rocket ship ride we saw this week, there might be more upside momentum. Coming up after the break, more GoldSeek.com radio. It's a pleasure to welcome the Chief Commercial Officer of Hedge Project, HDG, to the show on his debut. Giovanni Lesna, a financial product specialist, Peter Spinas, top pick, the Hedge Project. They have a unique platform that helps enable everyone to participate in the crypto markets in an efficient and accessible way. Welcome, Giovanni.
Thank you for having us on the radio. We really do appreciate it.
Giovanni, your proprietary crypto indices look as though they will transform the way investors increase exposure to these interesting new markets. Also includes the possibility of short selling.
I think we're delivering a very unique value proposition, you know, towards the crypto community. I'm sure everybody can see that, you know, Bitcoin in the last week ran it from $8,200 to just under $11,000 currently. What we've done is, you know, in terms of the risk, having all your eggs in one basket is quite risky. So what we've, you know, our product offering is a diversified index, which will allow investors a risk-diversified, cost-effective way to actually invest in cryptos and obviously get that risk-adjusted return over the long term. So that is what we set out to do. And we do see that the crypto market is maturing for that, as you can see with the Bitcoin futures being launched on the CME later this year and also on NASDAQ in 2018. A lot of institutional capital will start flowing into the crypto space. So I think we're well positioned to take advantage of that with this unique product offering.
If we look at your proprietary crypto indices, one of the more, I think, intriguing aspects is the Bookman Index. This apparently is a 30-component basket, according to your literature, of the cryptocurrencies. Now, it has really, frankly, all of our favorite top currencies, such as obviously Bitcoin at around 20%, Ethereum at 20%, which we think could be a five-bagger next year, Bitcoin Cash, which, as you know, Roger Ver is really big on, and so is his whole community there. Litecoin, which we think is underloved here. It really, in terms of Bitcoin, has not advanced at all. A huge opportunity. And that comes in at around 5%. Of course, I didn't mention Bitcoin Cash around 14%. Tell us the significance and any other interesting details regarding your hedge components.
What we've done is we followed the professionally designed rulebook-based approach. So similar to your S&P 500, where traditional investors would say with you know, crypto indices that follow rule book based approach. And what that does is it allows us to be objective in the way that the index functions. So as you mentioned, it is a basket of 30 cryptocurrencies, and our crypto 30 actually ends up tracking 90% of the market capitalization of the crypto coin market. So currently it's sitting at about $333 billion, and 90% of that value is coming from your crypto top 30. So essentially you are buying the market when you invest in this type of instrument. What is quite notable about the crypto top 30 is it is rebalanced in real time. So we draw inputs across 7 crypto exchanges so that you don't get that disconnect in data and you always remain relevant up to date. It is reconstituted monthly. So in other words, the components of the index are changed monthly. Because of that professionally designed rule book, there are specific rules that a specific crypto needs to follow to remain in the crypto top 30. So as an example, liquidity measures in order for it to form part of the crypto 30. So as an example, you'll see that BitConnect is missing from the constituent. It doesn't meet the liquidity requirement in terms of the trading pairs, and that's why it's missing from the index. So this is a passive index. What that means is we don't actually pick the constituents. It works on the market capitalization of the crypto market. So that, in essence, is what the rule book does. And you can actually find that on our website. We have it all transparently displayed on the website, which is www.hedge-crypto.com. There we have the fact sheets, which show you the constituents of this crypto 30, as well as the rule book, which stipulates all the, you know, methodology of the functioning of that index.
Two thoughts come to mind. Firstly, with regard to the component that you've excluded from the basket, hat tip for that, I'd like to really extend to our listeners today the importance, maybe even underscore, highlight, and embolden the importance of being super cautious. Red flags on top of one another. The second thought that comes to mind, Bitcoin Cash, why is portfolio diversification so important? Well, take a look at Bitcoin. As you mentioned, we've just had an enormous breakout. We actually called it last week on the show. We were looking for about 11,000. We exceeded those expectations, close to 11,005. However, this trend might have ebbs along the way. There could be peaks and valleys. The nice thing about your Bitcoin Cash component, considerably lower beta, which helps balance your Bitcoin and Ethereum exposure. The Buckman Index, which we talked about, has several interesting sectors, including value transfer, gaming and gambling, media and social anonymity, platform and asset peg, as well as other decentralized and you might even say disruptive components. Please tell us the significance of this diversification strategy.
As I mentioned, it is a passive index. So what that means is depending on which of the top 30 make it into that requirement, it just happens to be that the sectors have been broken up in this way. So you can see that a lot of the composition of the basket is coming from your value transfer. So what that is it's basically essentially your currency such as your Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. No, that's right. The crypto sectors are not selected. So this is completely passive. So what happens is depending on, you know, the market capitalization of the specific crypto that makes it into the crypto 30 based on the rule book based objectives, that will then include it into the index. And it so happens to be that the crypto top 30 is constituted mainly from your anonymity as well as your value transfer and platform-based cryptocurrencies. I think that's also an indication of, you know, where, you know, initial coin offerings and the crypto space is heading towards. So you can actually see the breakdown of that. So we just did that so that people can understand which crypto coins form part of which sector. And that's the unique offering of this Buckman Index.
This domain is really in early days, if you will. It's almost the Wild West. And clearly, you've already addressed a bit the derivative situation and how the CME Bitcoin futures contracts are expected or anticipated within the next few weeks, possibly before the end of 2018, but it's looking like that might be delayed. Another interesting opportunity for HDG, for Hedge here. Obviously, you have a unique crypto derivatives contract or contracts, futures, and options and instruments. You know, there's not too many ways to make this play right now. Right now we have BitMEX, B-I-T-M-E-X. That's one of the few futures markets. Give us an idea of how HDG plans to open up this exciting area.
In addition to index and the overlying crypto-traded indices that we intend to offer, which is a crypto-to-crypto investment that you can jump into. So in other words, we're going to create a unique value proposition for hedge token holders as well as for the hedge platform. We are going to be tackling that in two parts. One would be the crypto-traded indices, which we're going to offer on our platform, as well as what you were mentioning, the derivative instruments that would be linked to crypto. It's actually quite an interesting space that we're in at the moment. We can see that the Scandinavians are quite on the ball with derivative instruments such as your exchange-traded notes. And, you know, a couple of weeks back, we saw Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan, as well as Morgan Stanley being the biggest buyers of Bitcoin exchange-traded notes on that NASDAQ Swedish exchange. And also, you know, with the news coming out now from the CME, as well as, so that's the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, as well as NASDAQ announcing in 2018 that they also want to bring Bitcoin futures into the market. This is going to bring a lot of institutional money into crypto, and essentially this will allow Bitcoin to find its true value, yet we are uniquely placed to take advantage of that once that is in the mainstream. You know, the hedge platform will help facilitate that. So as we mentioned, Q1, Q2 of 2018, on our platform, we are going to do crypto-to-crypto crypto-traded indices that you'll be able to track the basket of 30, the crypto top 30. And eventually, we look to also take fiat, so you'll be able to invest using USD or Euro into your crypto-traded indices. That's a little bit later on down the line. But in addition to that, we will also offer crypto derivative instruments, whereby you'll be able to use to manage your positions and take positions in the market.
Just last week when we first spoke on the phone, the market cap for cryptos was approximately 250. At last check, we had eclipsed $300+ billion. This is forecast by many to be just the opening bell, if you will, for the entire sector. Why don't you give an idea or let folks know any other additional aspects about this exciting opportunity in hedge?
So we're also going to be, by the end of Q4 of 2017, releasing additional indices. You know, if you don't want to buy 90% of the crypto market, which we also see that we need a benchmark to compare your crypto investments to. You cannot compare your Bitcoin return, the return you make on your equities portfolio. So we hope that the Buchmann Crypto 30 will become the new benchmark used to gauge the return that you make on your crypto portfolio, or alternatively, investing in an initial coin offering. So if you're not making, you know, the minimum of the return of 90% of the crypto market, then you're obviously underperforming. But we're also going to be releasing additional crypto indices in addition to Buchmann Crypto 30. And you know, the exciting news, Chris, is we've actually successfully integrated with Thomson Reuters. So for traders out there that I'm sure there's thousands of traders using the Thomson Reuters Icon trading platform, you'll actually have direct access using the ticker BCC30. You can actually track top 30 cryptocurrencies by market capitalization in real time. So we have successfully integrated with them as well as Morningstar. In addition to the Buchmann Crypto 30, we'll also be releasing additional crypto indices that have specific rule books. So we're looking at Crypto 30 Equal Weight, a Crypto 30 Uncapped, Crypto 10, a crypto risk parity, as well as a crypto 5, so top 5. So you will have various sectors that you can actually invest in to suit your specific investor, and this is where we see the opportunity, because we know not everybody would want to invest in 90% of the crypto market. We do have other people that would like to rather invest in, like, let's say, your dark coins, your Moneros, your Dash, and we will have a specific crypto index that will track, just say, the dark coin index. So you can actually then end up trading that crypto traded index once we have it on our platform, and you can just completely focus on those dark coins as a basket to invest in.
Two thoughts come to mind here. Firstly, I'd like to point out, you know, just how the Bitcoin ETF has skyrocketed now, certainly more than tenfold since its introduction just 1 year ago. And really what the hedge folks here are doing today, bringing forward a basket that includes Bitcoin, but really all of the interesting diversification within the sector. There is no other opportunity that we can find like this. That's the first point I'd like to make. So think of the potential opportunity as this market space goes from a measly $300 billion, you know, not even one component on the Dow Jones, to obviously a multi-trillion-dollar space, we think rivaling even the Forex in the next few years. This really presents an opportunity for everyone to get that diversification without the risk of an ICO. The ICO has come and passed. We all have to do our own due diligence. I cannot promote anything, and I'm not a registered financial advisor, so I can't give investment advice. But let's take a look at where the hedge token is as far as a value opportunity. Right now, it's trading around 1/5 of that level. Well, if you're a believer in the story and you want some exposure, you've got an 80% discount opportunity from the ICO. Again, no promises, but it's just, I think, an important thing for the investor to consider while doing their due diligence.
We have seen a parabolic rally. I was actually watching Squawk Box on CNBC earlier today, and, you know, just seeing those anchors so passionate about this parabolic rise, you know, obviously just advising caution to everybody, especially over that steep decline. As we mentioned, we were just chatting last week at $8,200, and it's been pushed over that to $11,200 or $11,300. So definitely advise caution to that. Usually when things increase so rapidly, we do have a bit of profit taking, so I would not expect anything less than some profit taking and a little bit of a correction. But I do think in the longer term, you know, Bitcoin should rise, based on the fact that I think only 0.1% of the global population actually know what a Bitcoin is or have access to it. And I think that's where Hedge has a unique value proposition. We essentially want to bring, mom and pop to crypto. As well as allowing your average investor, to your institutional investor, to have access to a risk diversified, risk adjusted portfolio of the crypto top 30 and additional indices that are available on the Hedge platform. So we find that that will add a unique value proposition. And instead, you know, there's thousands, I'm sure, Chris, you can see this, you know, due to the ICOs, there's been thousands of new quizzes, I think 1,300, 1,400 tokens in total. How did you go about selecting the right winner? The way I see it, just as Vanguard was successful, you know, you buy the market, you hold the market, and you get that long-term wealth. Because eventually, you know, you can't beat the market consistently over time. So by having a diversified portfolio, essentially, of 90% of the crypto market, you can achieve, you know, long-term growth and wealth, and you don't have to waste time day trading. You don't have to waste time on costs. You don't have to waste time now opening up multiple wallets or multiple exchanges, because in the crypto space, you can't actually access every single token in one place, and that's what Hedge is: buy the crypto market with one click. It's that simple.
I have a slightly different take on what's occurring here. I'm a seasoned investor, so you might say I've been through the cycles of these markets and the precious metals and U.S. shares. I believe this time, and this is a frightening thing I'm going to say, things might be a little different. And I say that with a touch of humor. The real story here behind Bitcoin, it's not just the limited supply of around 16 million currently, 7 trillion people in the world, but I think the real story might be the end of the reserve currency. It appears as though we could be entering a Weimar-style runaway price situation as the currency is exposed as flawed, and we find this one market close to being as free as a free market can be, simply because the hash rate, the strongest, you might say, supercomputer in the world, many, many fold over this, the hashing power, if you will, uncontrolled market has been set free. I'm sticking with my Weimar scenario, calling for 15 to even 40,000 Bitcoin in the next few months. I think we'll see 100 to 150,000 by the end of 2018. on Bitcoin unless there is some coordinated effort by all the world's central banks and governments. I even question, though, because I might point out that some of the smartest minds have said if China could not contain Bitcoin, it will not be contained, period. But I hope folks will keep in mind that these are early days. Anything else you'd like to share with us today, Giovanni Lesna?
So, Chris, we actually are going to be doing in 2018, a roadshow. We're going to try and be on each continent. We are going to also be at the Crypto Space Moscow conference on the 8th of December 2017. So you can come and have a chat with us there if anybody's in the area, speaking about how to optimally diversify your crypto risk to achieve the best Sharpe ratio. So we'll be there speaking at the conference. And we also have a lot of exciting news lined up in our roadmap. So as I mentioned earlier, Q4 this year, we're going to release additional indices, and Q1, Q2 next year, the platform will go live, as well as the crypto-traded indices. Even more exciting, obviously, given the developments in the space regarding, you know, your Bitcoin futures, we hope to then by the end of Q4 2018 or Q1 2019, you know, create an ETF, an exchange-traded fund that will be tracking the index that we've created as an overlying instrument, and essentially bring that to the public in a regulated KYC compliant manner, and you know, allow anyone to invest in crypto essentially through a stock exchange. So we can see that the space is going in that direction, and as I mentioned, I think we're uniquely positioned to leverage that and to get into that.
All right, Giovanni Lesna, we can't wait to have you back on GoldSeek to keep us updated. You know, return with all the topicality as this exciting story progresses, as the new instruments and indices obviously increasing their exposure and jumping through the regulatory hurdles, and maybe even just as excitingly as the institutional interest and hedge fund interest grows for this platform. Because can you imagine the pent up demand as the typical money manager recognizes, wait a minute, U.S. equities? Really? That's the only exciting market out there? Let's look at Bitcoin, you know, a 10Xer in just less than a year or so. Frankly, we're looking for perhaps as high as a 5X on Ethereum next year. Litecoin, we think, is underloved. Another potential 5 to 10X. No guarantees, but exciting stuff.
You know, I'd also just advise that you wouldn't want to be looking back 10 years from now and see what you've missed out on. So obviously, as a prudent investor, you wouldn't be going to take out a mortgage to Bitcoin, some of these stories I've been hearing about. You definitely want to at least put maybe 5 to 10% of your portfolio to get that additional exposure so that you don't actually miss out on the bull run in the sector. So I think it would be something interesting to pursue, and as you mentioned, definitely to all investors need to do their due diligence and not just believe what they see, but also obviously do that research and see that, that's where it's going. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Hedge Tokens. You can also join our Telegram group. Because the last thing is we have such an engaged community talking about various cryptos, talking about, you know, alternative investments within the group. So it would be great for you, for investors and listeners to actually join our Telegram, post it on our progress, as well as to be there for the announcements that we make and the roadshows that we're going to. We're also on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, so we're basically on all your social media channels. You know, if there's any media that wants to, you know, discuss the concept of a crypto-traded index further, any type of investor that has any specific questions, I don't mind them reaching out directly to me and we can have a nice conversation on that. So I'll just give out my email address. It is Giovanni, so G-I-O-V-A-N-N-I, at hedge-crypto.com. And we can take it from there. But thank you, Chris. Thank you for having us on the radio. I'm sure Ethereum, as they say, a rising tide lifts all ships. If Bitcoin obviously rallies, then it will pull the rest of the market with it. So I definitely think $1,000 Ethereum does not seem unrealistic to me.
No, exactly. And we're calling for much, much higher than that. But we have to look at this as what percentage of folks are really aware. You touched on that. Maybe 1% worldwide, 1% in the U.S., 1% in Asia, 1% in Europe. Yes, I agree with you. Let's not take out second mortgages. Let's not max out the credit cards. At the same time, I think you bring a great point forward, and that is FOMO. Fear of missing out. Well, maybe that's a legitimate concern on, you know, the sector as a whole, as a component of your overall portfolio seems like prudent thinking on a forward basis. And we want for everybody to increase their exposure in a dollar cost averaging format where you really can't lose. If Bitcoin were to drop, let's say, to 7,900, we see strong support. If you're dollar cost averaging, that's far less painful and rather a profitable endeavor, as we think it goes many, many fold from these levels.
You know, I've already switched over from my Bitcoin profit into Ethereum and other smaller altcoins for the reason being that, as I mentioned, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats or all ships, and, you know, it becomes unattainable. Who has $11,000 to buy one?
Isn't that really the genius of Satoshi Nakamoto? The divisibility, right, down to more than one millionth, you know, one Satoshi. Really, if you think of it, there's never been a financial instrument with this remarkable characteristic. We used to be able to have one-eighth of a doubloon, if you will, the system based on a fractional. Then we went the decimalization. So we'll look at Venezuela, for instance, and tens of thousands of people are mining their own Bitcoin as their only means of survival. In Zimbabwe, but it's not just isolated to those two areas. Frankly, we see frightening Venezuelan style and Weimar styling issues plaguing perhaps the whole country.
If you have any questions, just on a personal basis, feel free to shout. I thought I was doing a bit of trading myself on the crypto space, and we're pretty much up to date. But you're right, I think the time of the ICO is a little bit over at the moment, and a lot of scams coming about. It's quick money. I think investors are a little bit cleverer than that these days. So yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting space. And
be careful when you're diversifying into Ethereum, Litecoin, Monero, Dash, and all the rest. Be sure and hold that at least a core in Bitcoin, because it has that first mover advantage.
Definitely switch in when it's a little bit cheaper. I still think, like you said, that correction's coming. You know, it can either play out, which is just think you can play out in two ways. So with Bitcoin futures, the price can obviously reach maybe 15,000 and stabilize, because we do have institutional money coming into the market. And they are able to manipulate price like they did with silver and everything else. So we'll have, you know, institutional capital, and that could even create two separate markets for Bitcoin. You know, obviously the Bitcoin that you can trade on a crypto exchange, and there's obviously the Bitcoin that is traded.
If you take a look at BitMEX, I don't know if you have an account, you can have premiums of hundreds of dollars over or below on BitMEX. And if you're not familiar, that's your futures exchange.
Different, I'm like Polyonic, but I know which one you're talking about.
You're actually thinking of 15,000 already on Bitcoin. That's pretty exciting stuff. But we do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us on the radio. We really do appreciate it.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's a pleasure to welcome Bill Murphy back to the show. Gold Antitrust Committee, GATA, 20 years with Chris Powell exposing the gold market manipulation. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
You know, last week, a really good week for the precious metals. We saw silver pop 50 cents. XAU looked like it was trying to find a floor, and gold moved a little higher. And then, of course, we hear of a big dump. According to Zero Hedge, gold dropped a key support after $2 billion dropped on the market.
You've heard from me for years, except that they're getting more extreme and more desperate. The gold cartel did their thing again. For the past 4 years in a row, the day after Thanksgiving, they struck and knocked gold and silver down and buried it. This time, silver finally broke out, and they just killed it again. And I think it's leading to price explosions. But in the meantime, they just carry on. But here we are today, before we go into our Thanksgiving, and gold's not far from making a new recent high, and it's coming right back. And this is really important. This is very different. In the past month or so, every time the gold cartel has attacked, the gold and silver prices have come right back. They're not getting any traction on the downside. And I think that that just shows how the pressure is building in each of these markets to explode.
I do see different price action in the markets. It's much more bullish now. Signs of accumulation after about a boring year or two, sideways moves. People lose all interest. They start taking a look at the S&P and Bitcoin, and they forget about the precious metals and what a great improvement they can add to your portfolio. And Jim Rickards agrees with you. He just wrote this week that the gold trend reversal is now moving higher, and he's seeing a flight to quality where people have just lost confidence in central banks all around the world, not just here domestically, but in Europe and in Asia. He says forget about higher interest rates. He's not worried about it. Gold and silver are going to move higher regardless.
So obviously I agree with Jim, and all I can see, it's classic in the sense that in the U.S. anyway, people are capitulating like I haven't seen in 20 years. They're quitting. They're going into bitcoins, they're getting out cash, they're doing anything but staying in gold and silver after a 6-year, 7-year bear market. And it's a classic sign of a bottom, and it's a further indication that we're headed much, much higher.
Exactly, because it's usually as the weekends sort of give up, toss in the towel, that we see the bottom come into place. And, you know, the more forward-looking folks, they are saying, hey, you know, these are discounts. This is just what I need for my portfolio. Well, as we move forward, obviously we're going to have a new Fed head here in 2018. My guess is it's, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. No big changes expected.
No, I don't think it really matters. I mean, there's power behind the scenes that really makes things happen. And I don't, the real key, and I always say this because I believe it to be true, it's what the gold cartel can get away with. They're petrified of losing control of gold and silver because if they really explode, it'll expose what they've been doing regarding money and all sorts of other issues. So they're trying to keep it under control. And I think at some point, the physical markets are just going to explode. We're hearing about tightness in New York now in gold and in London. And it's going to have its effect. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it just explodes. In the meantime, we're going through the same drills.
But again, I do think it's a little different this time. The price action is much more bullish. Every time there's a pullback, we're starting to see the buyers come out ahead.
Physical markets behind the scenes, much firmer than being led to believe. And I think this is what you're seeing, and you're correct. And I think it's leading to something major pretty soon.
Take a look at the S&P 500. Sure, we could keep drifting higher, but for the most part, it seems as though the risk-to-reward ratio gets less and less appealing, whereas where would you turn? Well, I mean, Bitcoin obviously could move higher as well, but that's had a parabolic move, so you've got to be careful. What's left? You know, I mean, well, the precious metals. Of course, the problem is we've been saying that for so long that I'm sure people discount, you know, the veracity of our comments here today, but let's hope not. Bill, give folks your prediction forecast for 2018 on precious metals.
You could have said this a year or two ago, I suppose, but gold and silver right now are by far the cheapest assets, financial assets on the planet. They are going to explode. And I'll go back to what I've been saying now for a while. If they're desperate to keep silver below 21, if it gets above that number, it'll trade it in a similar fashion to Bitcoin, maybe not as dramatic, but you're going to see some incredible moves, and I just hope it comes sooner rather than later.
Let me leave this with the listeners today. An article from Gata.org, by the way, that gold has outperformed the S&P 500 since the year 2001. This is from Sprott, a big friend of the show here, and I know a friend of yours as well. Sprott analysts just pointing out, despite the amazing moves in the S&P, and of course the sluggishness we've had to endure for a year or two following the bottom in, I guess, 2015, 16, depending on what you want to call it, doesn't matter. If you look at the bigger picture, the overriding gains are with gold. It's just outperformed shares domestically. This, I think, has puzzled a lot of sharp analysts, and it continues, and I think that that discrepancy probably offers a value opportunity for our listeners today.
Couldn't agree more, except this time where the moves, if I'm correct, maybe I'm not, I don't know, but it's going to be explosive this time like we've never seen before. You're not going to have a gradual move up anymore.
And, you know, we could have that Bitcoin-like moment. Here's the interesting parallel. There's only so much of the stuff. You can print dollars, you can print fiat money, and you can print equity shares and bonds all day long. Good luck printing gold. Bill Murphy, any contact information?
Well, people can sign up for a 2-week free trial at www.lemaitrepolecafe.com or go to Gata.org and get on my colleague Chris Powell's list. And we're out there fighting a good fight, and we're going to win. It's just taking a lot longer than we had hoped for.
Isn't that the truth? But hey, you know what? Good things sometimes worth waiting for.
Bill Murphy, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com as a trusted business and financial news source. Today's special guest, Peter Schiff from SchiffGold.com. Welcome, Peter Schiff.
Oh, thanks for welcoming me on.
Why don't we start off with Schiff Gold? Maybe you could tell listeners a bit more about the new company title and what the focus of your new venture is, please.
Well, it's the same venture. It's Euro Pacific Precious Metals, so nothing has changed except the name. So people can still get the same low prices on high-quality gold and silver products. I initially set up Euro Pacific Precious Metals because I have a brokerage firm, Euro Pacific Capital, and a lot of my clients are interested in precious metals. And I used to just refer them to find a reputable dealer, but too many of them were ending up finding unreputable ones, because a lot of those companies would advertise, and then they would end up pushing people into these overpriced products, and I heard a lot of horror stories. And so I decided just to set up my own company to make sure that people didn't get ripped off and they bought the right gold and silver products. If they're really worried about inflation and a weak dollar, that they don't get talked into becoming coin collectors and then overpaying for coins that don't even have much in the way of collectible value anyway. I started that a few years ago, and decided to rebrand it to make it more of a, clearly a separate company than my brokerage firm, to kind of have it have its identity unique to itself. As we continue, I think, to become a larger player in that market, and hopefully we'll continue to expand our market share. We have been doing that over the past few years, and looking forward to continuing to take market share when the gold market starts to go higher.
They're talking tough on, maybe tightening, but on the other hand, their balance sheet is increasing. It's the highest level that we've seen in 2 years over at the Fred website.
Well, they keep on talking about the U.S. economy as if it were recovering. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Fed is forecasting Q1 GDP at just 0.6. And when February began, they were looking for 3.4% economic growth. They're now looking for just 0.6. And we could end up getting a negative quarter, which means we're already halfway in recession. And the Fed is talking as if the recovery is still on track and they're getting ready to raise rates again, when the reality is they're probably going to stop raising rates and they're going to start cutting rates, and they're getting ready to launch the mother of all QEs.
We have an echo bubble in housing.
This is another bubble, but it's different than the last one in that, it's not about subprime borrowers and liar loans and nothing down and home equity extractions. This bubble is an institutional bubble because you have record ownership of single family homes by hedge funds and private equity funds who bought these things up in 09, 010, 011, and their plan was to rent them out for a while and then sell them to their tenants. Well, their tenants are broke. They're underemployed. They're unemployed. They have credit card debt, auto debt. They can't afford to buy these houses. They can barely afford to pay the rent on the houses. I think these guys are going to end up getting rid of these properties. They bit off more than they can chew. It's hard to manage a portfolio of single-family homes all around the country. Things start to go wrong. You have maintenance problems. Your tenants stop paying. They're vacant. So I think they're going to sell these things, and they're just going to blow out of the market. I mean, they're going to be selling houses like they sell their stocks they don't like, right? I bought the stock. It's 20. It's at 10. Get rid of it. Dump it, right? They're going to do the same thing with houses. They don't have a mortgage. They can take whatever the market will bear. So I think you're going to see just a collapse in some of these markets when the institutional speculators decide they want out.
They're calling it the Trump rally. However, now it's looking as though it's going to be a little more difficult to pass some of these tax ideas that they had in place and stimulus measures.
It is a bubble, and, higher rates could prick it, an economic contraction or recession could prick it, a number of things. But, there was a lot of optimism about the Trump win, particularly among Trump voters and Republicans who thought, oh, this is going to bring relief from excess regulation, excess taxation. Trump's going to make America great again. We have a lot of problems. They're going to blow up on his watch, unfortunately. He didn't cause the problems, but he's inheriting the problems. Meanwhile, they couldn't even get rid of Obamacare. That monstrosity is here to stay, unfortunately, so there's no relief there. Major tax reform is not going to happen. I think we will get tax cuts, but only after the economy is in a recession, and they're going to do it as a stimulus. But they're going to combine it with massive government spending on infrastructure, and the budget deficits are going to explode. They'll end up being closer to $2 trillion a year than $1 trillion, which means the dollar is going to tank, gold's going through the roof. And by the way, gold's already up more than 11% this year. The Dow Jones is only up 4%. So gold is almost tripling the return on the Dow, yet you wouldn't know that by listening to the financial news that's in love with the stock market and this Trump rally. There's a much bigger Trump rally going on in gold than there is in stocks. And this rally is just getting started. Meanwhile, the U.S. stock market rally is ending. I mean, this is a bubble that's going to deflate.
No, exactly. I mean, we've got 14-15% on silver. Let's remember silver as well this year. They're both on a technical basis just gearing up for a launch to test the highs of 2016 and likely, new bull market highs. So we're in the early innings there. I'm with you. However, but the bulk of the people, they're chasing stocks. They're not looking at the precious metals.
Yeah, I know. Like, I just had a conference call with a lot of our clients today. I mean, I've seen in my own client base, a lot of my clients over the last quarter have closed their accounts to jump on the U.S. bandwagon. This is massive capitulation. These are people who haven't owned U.S. stocks in a decade. Now, all of a sudden, they want to jump back in at, you know, Dow 20, 21,000. Meanwhile, they're ignoring the fact that their accounts maybe are up 30% with me in the last year. They're beating the U.S. stock market last year. We're beating it this year. This is just the beginning. And gold stocks, you know, gold stocks are only up about 16% this year, with gold up 11%. Gold stocks should be up 30 or 40%. The reason they're not is because there's still so much skepticism. Nobody believes this bull market. When people realize that this is the beginning of a huge move, I mean, they're going to be stampeding into these gold stocks. So, you know, my gold fund, the Euro Pacific Capital Gold Fund, EPGFX is the symbol for my gold fund. I mean, this is a gift horse buying opportunity, I think, in these gold stocks. We've got a great portfolio of junior miners, too. I tell people, don't try to pick them yourself. You know, let a professional pick those stocks. You need a real diversified portfolio. I mean, if you just want to buy the Newmonts and the Barricks and the Franco-Nevadas, you know, anybody can do that. But if you want to get into the, you know, the smaller end of the spectrum of the gold stock, you got to have somebody who really knows the industry and the companies do that for you.
Yeah, we've got to extend a hat tip to your service because it was way ahead of the pack and it still is. So we're going to put the links up on the website. But I'd really like your thoughts about what's going to be the impetus that tops this economy. You're talking about a recession, but according to the Fed, you know, we have the lowest unemployment rate in 10 years.
We also have the lowest employment rate. Meanwhile, here's the trifecta of debt. We have credit card debt, student loans, and auto debt, all at record highs, all above a trillion. So you add those three together, you're over $3.5 trillion, getting close to $4 trillion in debt that is just for nothing. Student loans, credit cards, automobiles. Americans are leveraged up to the hilt. And a lot of people think, well, you know, we don't have as much leverage as we did in 2007. That's only because a lot of people don't have houses that had them in 2007 and they had mortgage debt. But credit card debt is higher and people have no home equity anymore. I mean, Americans are broke. The average American is living paycheck to paycheck, and a lot of Americans don't even have paychecks. So they're living credit card bill to credit card bill. That's why Donald Trump is president. He's president because the economy is a disaster. But electing him doesn't change anything. We have a major crisis coming. The only reason I prefer Trump, other than the fact that I hated Clinton, when everything collapses, he's got a better chance of listening to people that know what they're talking about and maybe taking a free market approach. But right now, he's not listening to the right people. He's listening to the neocons. He's listening to the Bush wing. He has aligned himself with all the problems in the Republican Party. He is fighting the Freedom Caucus and the Tea Party. Right. Instead of joining those guys, you know, he is trying to make them more mainstream. So, you know, there's no game change here with Trump. Not yet. I mean, we are headed over the edge of a cliff, and you just better make sure you're you know, buckled up.
Student loans and car loans, we have the highest delinquency rates on record. And this is the new subprime. It's just not in housing this time. Maybe they learned their lesson somewhat.
Yeah, it's all subprime. I mean, you know, and you actually have this huge explosion of subprime auto lending. I mean, that's off the charts. You know, look what's already happening to used car prices. They're crashing because a lot of people are turning in their leases and there's such a glut of used cars. And there's going to be a fortune lost. A lot of people that loan money to auto buyers, they're going to lose a fortune. Because, you know, the residual value on the car is not there. So when the lessor goes to sell the used car, they're going to end up taking a bath.
Give us an idea of whether or not geopolitical tensions are on your radar screen. 59 Tomahawk missiles launched, of course, into Syria. Could we see something bigger here?
It does show that Trump doesn't represent a change when it comes to foreign policy. He talked about how he was against the Gulf War, how he doesn't want to be an interventionist. Yet, you know, he didn't waste any time, you know, dropping bombs on Syria. Same old, same old. And this thing might escalate. You know, a little bit of a wag the dog. Because as the economy gets bad, presidents like to, you know, change the headlines by getting involved in military action. Because, you know, all of a sudden that unites the country. Your critics become your champions, right? Nobody can criticize you because then they're being unpatriotic. In fact, a lot of Trump's critics, the minute he started bombing other countries, all of a sudden, oh, now he's acting presidential.
Does this lead to severe societal...
You know, we're certainly going to have unrest. I think we'll have rioting, but that's going to happen when the dollar crashes and you have shortages of consumer goods, you have food shortages, you have power blackouts. I mean, all this stuff is coming, right? This is all in our future. So people better be prepared for it. I just don't know exactly when, but we're careening towards a dollar crisis. So, you know, I'm trying to prepare people financially for that. At least make sure that their portfolios weather the storm. But it could obviously be a much bigger storm that impacts people in much more profound ways other than in their pocketbooks. I mean, the last time the dollar rallied was, you know, 2008 when we had the financial crisis. But that's because the dollar was at an all-time record low and had been falling for 8 years. The dollar is now at a 14, 15-year high. It's been rising for 8 years. So this looks more like 2001 when you had another dollar bubble and a stock market bubble. And when that stock market bubble burst, the dollar crashed for 7 years and hit an all-time record low. And that's when gold prices took off. That's when they went from under 300 to 1,000. It was during that time period. So I think now we're going to go a bigger move. We're going to go from, you know, where we started, the low was around 1050, and now we're headed up to 5,000, maybe higher.
It only took Warren Buffett a portion of his funds to corner the silver market back in the 1990s. Could we see a cartel or a group of billionaires corner these markets?
It doesn't have to be anybody trying to corner the market. It just has to be a few billionaires realizing that they don't have enough gold or they don't have any gold and trying to buy it because there's not a lot available. You know, see, you get a major move by some wealthy people or some hedge funds. If they actually want to position themselves long precious metals, there's not that much. You know, a lot of it is owned now by central banks, and they're not selling. So, this could be a move. And especially the gold stocks. If you get the institutions in a big way trying to position themselves in gold equities, I mean, you can have some explosive moves. You got to buy these things now. Don't, you know, buy it before the herd. Don't try to compete with all the hedge funds. Try to front run them.
Do you anticipate fresh bull market highs in gold and silver?
Yep, absolutely.
So you're looking for maybe an inflation adjusted above 2000 on the yellow metal.
But yeah, I mean, look, think about all the money that's been printed since the last time, you know, gold and silver made a new high. You know, so it just measures the depreciation of fiat currency. Think of how much more money is going to be printed in this next recession. I mean, if you thought QE 1, 2, and 3 were big.
Do you see any chance of the Federal Reserve tightening its balance sheet?
You know, they've been talking about it since they started expanding it in 2009. Ben Bernanke talked about it. It hasn't happened for a reason. That's because there's nobody to buy the bonds that they don't when they stop rolling them over. So I think the balance sheet's going to expand. Right now, the balance sheet is at $4.5 trillion. And I bet it hits $10 trillion before it hits $4 trillion, if it even goes down.
And what happens if our trading partners start to turn their back on the Treasury? We've already heard some talk of that.
And that's just going to put more upward pressure on interest rates, which is going to put more pressure on the Fed to print even more money to stop interest rates from rising. And it just means inflation is just going to burn out of control. And that's another reason I'm so bullish on precious metals.
If you're expecting inflation like that, won't the middle class and the working classes, and not to mention retirees, be absolutely crushed?
Except the ones that have accounts with me. I mean, that have wealth, right? That's what retirees should do. They should be calling me up at Your Pacific Capital, talking to one of my brokers, getting out of the U.S. stock market, getting out of the U.S. bond market, and building a portfolio of foreign assets in New Zealand, Switzerland, Singapore, Hong Kong, Norway, get real quality stocks, get good dividends in foreign currencies, and have some precious metals exposure. Protect yourself from what's coming. Most retirees are going to be wiped out. In fact, 5 years from now, there won't be any retirees left. They're all going to be back in the workforce. They're going to be too broke to be retired. They're going to have to find a job. Who knows what they're going to do, but they're going to have to do something because they're not going to be able to live on their retirement. They're not going to be able to live on their Social Security. If they still get it, it's not going to be worth anything.
Exactly. We'll be, I guess, repairing the automated Ubers, right, and not to mention automated retail stores.
The retail space is in worse shape than it was in 2008. Look at the store closures. Look at the bankruptcies. This is the tip of a huge iceberg. This is a wave of bankruptcies, which is also going to hurt the commercial real estate market where you have a lot of tenants that are retailers. But people can get a hold of me. Go to europacificcapital.com, EUROPAC.com. Call us at 800-727-7922. Open up an account. Transfer your account over. You got an IRA. Transfer that over. Let me build a real portfolio that will protect you from what's going to happen. Look me up at shiftgold.com. Buy some physical precious metals. In fact, everybody listening to your show should also go to goldmoney.com.
Takeaway question. Next 10 years, the odds that we return to a gold standard, domestically and globally.
Well, I think the odds are 100% that individuals will return to a gold standard using a service like Gold Money. Whether we will officially go back on it during that time period, it's hard to say. But I do think that inevitably, if this country is not going to collapse into oblivion, if we're ever going to get back on the right track, one of the first things we're going to have to do to get back on track is to reclaim sound money. We're going to have to go back on a gold standard because there's going to be no real prosperity unless we return to a gold standard.
All right. Peter Schiff, thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. The drumbeat for and against free speech is heating up from many quadrants this week as the new FCC chairman Ajit Pai commented that there has been a push to discriminate against certain groups, as he pointed out, during an aggressive defense of the FCC's plan to repeal net neutrality rules. During a speech at a think tank event, he said, when it comes to a free and open internet, Twitter is part of the problem. He said the company has a viewpoint and uses that viewpoint to discriminate. According to an article in the Chicago Tribune, Twitter, Google, and Facebook have been vocal opponents of the FCC's proposal to repeal net neutrality, joining others who say the repeal will harm the free flow of information on the Internet. However, on the other side of the argument, Internet service providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon have supported the FCC's push, which it says will allow the Internet to return to the free market environment it was created in. On December 14th, the FCC is expected to repeal Obama-era regulations, which are aimed at ensuring all websites are treated equally by Internet providers. Pai commented specifically on Twitter by saying that their own practices already violate the principles of openness that the company espouses, accusing it of a, quote, double standard to police its own content. He cited the company's recent regulation of conservative users' accounts. One prominent conservative Twitter and YouTube personality, Mark Dice, has regularly been censored simply for his point of view. In Pai's speech, he noted Twitter's decision to prevent Republican Senate candidate Marsha Blackburn from being able to pay to advertise a campaign video. He framed their decision on the matter by saying, "This conduct is many things, but it isn't fighting for an open internet." She was allowed to post the video in her Twitter feed, and after the uproar, the company eventually allowed the advertisement to be promoted on its service. What's interesting is that even President Trump's Twitter account was suspended for 11 minutes in early November, which the company blamed on a, quote, rogue employee on the last day of work. However, this lax explanation has raised more questions about the security of political content on the website. It appears the division on net neutrality is, on one hand, the potential fear some ISPs may charge websites a premium for faster delivery of content, relegating other sites to somewhat slower access speed. Or, on the other hand, direct censorship of points of view by the likes of Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. It really comes down to how much you actually support the principle of free speech, even speech from those you disagree with. So the question is, are you willing to fight to the death to support someone else's right to say something you don't agree with or believe in? Your answer, and the answer of those who govern us, will determine what kind of world we live in moving forward. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. I'm